Good to see you all. Welcome everybody online. It's a blessing to be up here to preach God's word, Jesus' words from Matthew, the greatest sermon possibly Jesus ever preached. As many say, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. In your bulletin, you'll see some of the key points. I'm going to cover just a portion of Jesus' great sermon, but this is known as the Beatitudes. What inspired me to bring this lesson was Nicholas taught us on Thursday mornings, went right through the greatest sermon that Jesus ever preached, and it inspired me to come back to my grassroots, my foundation, and that is Jesus Christ's words and his very nature, which I need to emulate. I need to be more like Jesus as we all do. You'll see in the bulletin, even in the middle, I challenge everybody to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what Jesus says to do. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what does he say? You'll be filled. You'll be filled. And that's the highlight. That's the driving scripture for me today to get across to you. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be filled. We sang a couple songs that's called about hungering and thirsting. And it is so true that there's nothing like it. I know you've all hungered and thirsted for something in your life. It might have been maybe when you were going to get married, you were just so enamored by your spouse and you just were so inspired and wanted to spend every waking second with that person. And you were you just had a feeling that just, made you maybe drive 90 miles an hour to go see her like I did one day. And it's just, when Diane had me so inspired, I would do anything to get to her as fast as I could. And this is what, that feeling that Jesus wants you to have for him. That's the feeling Jesus expects you to have for him. And he teaches us today. So I'm going to read just part of the lesson from Matthew 5, 3 through 16. And I encourage you to open up a Bible and read it along with me. Because as much as it's great having all these scriptures up here, and that's good, but there's nothing like reading your Bible in front of you, God's Word. And to have your own Bible with your own highlights, your own notes, it truly inspires me, because when I flipped open this, I got to see probably a whole bunch of notes I maybe don't even understand, but I wrote them at one time or another as I studied God's word, and Jesus inspired me to do so. So I'm going to read Matthew 5, 3 through 16. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, we think about Jesus going to the cross and dying for us, paying every single thing for us. He did it with one thing in mind, to take our sins away so that we can join him someday in heaven. And then he got to go to heaven and sit right next to his Father. Well, for this is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then he goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. But here is just a couple key verses. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, he says. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So take a minute and think to yourself, what two verses or two thoughts stick out in your mind? Just think about that. What I've read, I'm going to read it again, so in case you missed a couple points. But just think about it this way, and get ready. I'm going to read it a little different. Start in verse 3. For theirs is the kingdom. for they will be comforted. For they will inherit earth. For they will be filled. For they will be shown mercy. For they will see God. For they will be called children of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is it. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Are you lighting up your house? Jesus says. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So meditate on those verses for a little while. And at the end of my lesson, I'm going to give you my 2 points. You probably already know. But first point is, in your bulletin, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And you know, they just came on board. They just came on board. They didn't know all the words that we know of the Lord. They didn't know that. They just came on board to follow Jesus. And so Jesus is telling you and me and his disciples, you're going to be blessed because you're going to be poor in spirit. But then he says, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So what does that mean to you and me? You're going to find out in a second. Let's read Matthew 23, 11 through 12. Matthew 23, 11 through 12. Here we go. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus says, the greatest of you will be a servant. The greatest among you are going to be how well you serve one another. You know, we think the opposite way. We think this morning we got up, what am I going to do? How am I going to be fed? And Jesus says, no, that's not the way to think. That's backwards thinking, boys and girls. I want you to be servants, just as I served. And he says, the greatest among you, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And I'll tell you what, I've had a real hard time with humility. I'll be honest. I haven't been the most humble guy in the world over my years. I've done a lot of great things, and I've known it. I've known it, and other people have known it. And so I had to be taught a lesson. Jesus had to humble me. He really did have to humble me. He hit me right between the eyes. And the best thing that ever happened to me. And I pray that it happens to you, especially the guys. You know, we're the breadwinners, you know, or the girls too sometimes. We have Mr. Moms out there, and the women are working and this and that. But you need to be humbled. You need to be humble, and you need to be a servant for Jesus Christ. Because if you're not serving him, he's going to humble you. You can't have it both ways. You got to be humble. And I'm going to read also Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Great scriptures. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. I say get your highlighter out. This is a good one. Therefore, if any have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort with his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you look to the interest of others. I ask you, did you do that this morning? Were you not looking to your own interest, but were you thinking about others? You know, I teach Bible study at 9:30, and it's so great for people to come and get around that table. But, you know, when Nicholas teaches Bible study on Thursday night, I can't wait to get there. You know why? Because Jesus is being proclaimed. I want to be where Jesus is proclaimed and put number one. I don't want to be sitting home, watching our TV show that I really like. I want to be there with Jesus. I want to be where the church meets. So really, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship, here we go, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Think about that person right in front of you and how much Jesus loves them. Think about that person right in front of you or right beside you and think how much Jesus loves them. Have that mindset of Jesus Christ. Don't automatically think, well, that guy's a bum. He sleeps in and he doesn't do this. And don't think that way. Have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. Have compassion in your heart. Verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's just what we celebrated shortly before. Jesus Christ humbled himself to a point of death on the cross. He got beat beyond anything we can ever ask or imagine for you and me. He did it for us. So therefore, he says in verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I tell you, amen. We gotta get a little bit excited about God's word. Don't be pew sitters. Lift up your arms and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, really, it is so true. What a great example. The king himself is to someone who humbled himself to the death. And what does he say? He said, rather, he made himself nothing but taking the very nature of a servant. We need to do the same thing. We need to be that servant, that person who needs us badly. Finally, let's read for this point 1 Peter 5 through 11, over a few books. 1 Peter 5 through 11, another good one. When you want to think about humility, read the scripture. Really, when you want to think about what's important in your life, read these scriptures. Verse 5, chapter 5 of 1 Peter. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. What does he say next? All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud. He doesn't like that. But he shows favor to the humble. I had Diane for 51 years. Probably one of the most humble people I've ever known my whole life. And she taught me more than any teacher ever did. Any teacher ever did. I had a lot of good teachers. But her humility, her compassion, her being her situation to praise God, that's humility. That's what makes a difference. So humble yourselves, he says in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So Peter follows up the humility of we might suffer for a little while for being humble. You know, we might say they ran right over me, but we just sang the Jesus way, and that has to be our way. It has to be our way. All right. Next point, point 2 on your bulletin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That don't make any sense. I'm going to mourn so I can be comforted. But what Jesus is saying to his disciples and to you and me, have that attitude of humility so that you can comfort other people. Abraham says, I want to be a blessing so I can be a blessing to somebody else. That's what that means. You know, we might mourn, we might go through something, but you can use that trial, that whatever you have gone through, to his glory. To your light will still shine. Like it said at the end of Matthew there, despite your trials and your time of mourning. Over my Christian year since 20, I'm now 71, 51 years, had a lot of mourning, a lot of mourning, but then a lot of comfort, a lot of comfort. And can honestly tell you, I've come out better on the other side. I always came out better on the other side. If I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't be where I am today, serving the Lord, loving the Lord, praising the Lord. Let's read Psalms 42, 1 through 3. Psalms 42, 1 through 3. Listen to the songs of David. This is a good one. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. You've all been there. You've had your time of crying. I've had many times of crying. But, you know, God always provided. He always answered my prayers. He always gave me that person to call or turn to or come join in fellowship with so that when I hungered and thirsted, I found the living God. I hungered and thirsted for righteousness. I found the living God. 42, 9 through 11. More from David. He says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go through about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? My soul, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. Again, David has gone through so much. In Psalms chapter 42, he cries out from his soul, from deep down within. Six times, he says, my soul, I cry out. You know, it's gut-wrenching what we go through. But God says, as a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. The answer is there in our Lord. All right. Point number three. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Again, backwards thinking from the world. So there's no way am I going to get ahead in business by being meek. No way am I going to get ahead anywhere on this world by being meek. But Jesus says, you will. Who matters the most? Jesus. You know why? Because he says, you're going to inherit the earth. You're going to inherit the earth. You're going to rule and reign someday with Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, I'm telling you, I feel like I've inherited this area. I really have. I've been around here a long time, and so many awesome and great things are happening, and it's not by accident. It's because of Jesus. It's because I've been narrow-minded for him all these years. It's because of Jesus. You know, really, we're all sitting here. Diane had so many prayers answered, and part of it was being here, because without her and me, this place wouldn't be. You know, Nicholas wouldn't be preaching. He'd be off somewhere making $100,000 a year doing what he did best before. But no, God had a better plan. God had a better plan. You know, we prayed, and God answered. That's being meek, depending trust on him. Let's read some of Paul's favorite praying in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is one of my favorite scriptures because I'm all about unity in the Lord, being one in Christ, being one with my spouse, being one with my family, being one in this church as the body of Christ. I really think unity all the time. So Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Great stuff he says right here. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul's hit it right on the head for you and I. We're prisoners for the Lord. You can't go anywhere and get away from the Lord. You might leave here today, but if you have Jesus, he goes with you, right? You're a prisoner for him. You're here to serve him and praise him. So what do you need to do? Live a life worthy of the calling he gave you. You each have a calling for Jesus Christ. You know, maybe Nick and I preach, But you can teach. You can encourage one another on. You can make a difference in your family. You can change the life around you. Remember, you can be that light in your home, your house. You're not going to put it under a bowl when you go home. You're going to be inspired by the Word of God. Romans 8:37. We all know how much I love Romans 8, so I couldn't leave it out. And part of the challenge a couple years ago was to read the Romans chapter 8 30 times every day for 30 days. Some of you are still reading it, I heard. And so there's so much incredible stuff in Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters of all time. But I'm going to just read 37 through 39 because Paul says to you and me, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's what's going to happen to you. There's nothing that can stop you. You put all your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to say those verses over and over again. You're going to say amen a little louder, a little louder, a little louder. It's going to get better. Amen. Yes, because every time I read that, I get excited. And that's why Romans chapter 8 is so great. It ends up like that. And we know how it starts. We like how it starts, too. It's not going to be on your screen, but it says, Paul says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." If you're in Christ Jesus, I don't care. They might think badly, but there's no condemnation. There's nothing but blessings in Jesus Christ. There's nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It works. It works. Prove it. Prove it. Meek is not weak. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Finally, my last point, and the best one of these scriptures for me: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." One of my favorite verses. And I had a gentleman who I had known for about 20 years when I came over to Antrim and had an old junky car for delivery car at Rick and Ian's Pizzeria. And so I used to take my car to Stubby Bennett in Bennington. He has passed away since, but Stubby became a good friend of mine because he repaired my car, and also he had two bays. One bay was for car repair, the other bay was for golf practice. Yeah, he liked golfing, so he would practice his driving into the other bay of the garage. So I often thought it was pretty cool, you know, because I used to teach kids how to windmill pitch. So we'd go into the gym and throw balls against the wall. We'd do whatever it took. So I always liked people who sort of thought against, you know, different. Stubby came to me had to be 6-7 years ago. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. He had moved to Florida, more or less, and took up his golf game. But he called me up and says, "Rick," he says, "we just started at the cross up at the town hall." That was 10 years ago, I think. Yeah, and so he saw the article in the newspaper. So he said, "Rick," he says, "I want to know a little bit about that church you guys started up at the cross." He goes, I said, yeah, Stubby, it's cool. It's cool. It's Nicholas is preaching. We're working together. We got a ragtag group of people, like that song sang earlier. We had maybe 20 people worshiping the Lord, mostly family, but hey, who cares? It was growing. So he called me up, met me in the restaurant right there, and we sat down. And Stubby's stomach, you know, I got stomach problems, but Stubby's belly was like this. And I said, "Oh, what's the matter, Stubby?" He said, "Oh, I got something wrong with my stomach. I don't know." But he says, I've been sort of worshiping the Lord, he said, "but I really don't know how to do it." He says, "Can you tell me?" And right off the top of my head, I didn't even have time to think. He says, what do you guys believe?" I said, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's the best definition I can give of all you people out here, that you hunger and thirst for righteousness. I knew I did, and I knew others did. So I said, "That's what defines us, Stubby." He says, "Really?" He says, "How do you do that?" And I said, "It's the Bible, Stubby." And he said, "I want to know more about it." So we sat there, and for 15, 20 minutes at the restaurant, I shared the gospel a little bit, and he really didn't know much about it. But he said, I'm coming this Sunday, and I'm going to try to bring some of my family." And I said, "Awesome, Stubby." So Thursday, his wife calls me. She says, "Stubby's in the hospital." having a rough time with his stomach. So I talked with him and prayed with him over the phone. And I love, you know, I really love Stubby. You know, I always liked him. He repaired my car, but now he wanted to know Jesus. That's even better. You know, I think, wow, another Christian. So Stubby died on that Saturday, never made it to church. But I prayed with him. His wife was right there. His children were around. And so they called me the next Monday or Tuesday. They go, so Rick, would you do the service for Stubby? I go, of course. I know where Stubby is. You know, I mean, I don't mind doing services for people. I know where they are. I think they're the luckiest people in the world. You know, they're in heaven. So I went to the cemetery in Concord because he was a military man, so it was a military service. It was a nice little chapel, probably half the size of this. And I couldn't believe it. Probably 20 or 30 people came, and half of them were from Antrim. It's because a lot of people knew Stubby, including Chuck Marshall and Dale's brother and Michelle, who I sort of knew. And they came. So I gave them the gospel. I said, you know what Stubby's last words were? He said, I want my family to come to church and know Jesus. So if you, that's what Stubby said. And he's there with Jesus. Don't you want to be in the same place? Don't you want to be in the same place Stubby is? Yeah. I gave him, you know, Nick knows, he's done a few services too. And we give the gospel because it's a chance for people. They said, man, I want to be where Stubby is. Heaven. So, make a long story short, that hungering, thirsting right for righteousness paid off. You know, it paid off. You know, with what's on your mind? Hungering and thirsting for righteousness? That's what Jesus says. That's going to be on your mind at the forefront. So I say hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Almost done. Almost done. Matthew 6:33. This is a good one, you know, because, again, Jesus is talking and he's preaching. He's going on and on, and you know, his disciples are taking all this in. So he says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Can you imagine being a disciple of Jesus in those days? Hearing your Savior preach to you, giving you the words of life you never heard before, unlike you've ever heard before. And all these things will be given to you as well. It must have been a mixed message because they're thinking, I'm a fisherman. How am I going to go fishing for people? You might be thinking the same thing. How am I going to change the way I'm thinking because I'm this or I'm that? Well, Jesus says that don't matter. That doesn't matter. What does he say? But seeks first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom, I'm telling you. And there's nothing like seeking first the kingdom and righteousness. That's what Christ did in Matthew chapter 5:6, back to the beginning. But I'm going to read just a couple more words from David in the Psalms 63:1-5. Because David was much like you and me. He loved Jesus. He loved the Lord. And he just cried out to him. Psalms 63:1-5. David says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory because your love is better than life, he says. Highlight that. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I love singing to the Lord. I love singing to the Lord. It's the best. Because I want to praise him and glorify him. That's what David is saying to you and I. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. All right. Back to Matthew chapter 5:13-16. I'm going to wrap this up. Thinking of those two verses, I hope you are. Matthew 5:13-16. Jesus is talking to you right now. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I don't want to see that happen to anybody. Once you've got the Lord, and I've seen it many times, people have gotten the Lord and they've worshiped with us for a year or maybe two and then left. Left the Lord. That's the saddest thing. It saddened my heart so bad, and I see them to this day, and I pray for them all the time. And so we don't want to lose our saltiness. We might have it today. We might be excited today by the word of God. But Jesus says, this is where he says again, you will be blessed. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give light to everyone in the house. I pray that you would do that today. Be the light of the world for your house, for your family, for your loved ones, for your co-workers. Go back and show your light is shining. Smile as you've never smiled before because you've got something that they need. Jesus, you are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. I don't know what your top two picks were, but mine were, of course, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Filled with what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. It's going to well up inside of you. When you hunger and thirst, you're going to read God's word. You're going to show up for Bible study. You're going to get involved with somebody you love and care for and say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to heaven but through him. No other way. No other way. And finally, you are the light of the world. I like that one. So, how can you be the light of the world that Jesus wants you to be? We talked this morning in Bible study. It starts with prayer. Set some time aside to pray. Inside your bulletin, you'll see there's a prayer request in your bulletin. I don't know if any of you read those during the week, but that's a good place to start because there's so many needs. You know, Floyd and Jules, for instance, we haven't seen Jules in a while. Jules suffers every single day, and she's in your bulletin to pray for. Tall Tom, he's not here today, but his wife Jan, same thing. They suffer every single day. They're not like you and me. They can't get here. That reminds me to pray for them. It goes on and on. And then it's easy. I start at the top and go down. I start with my wife. I go down to my kids. I go down to my coworkers. I go down to the people sitting in these pews. My prayer time is great. It's probably a half hour. It's awesome. You know, so that opens my heart and mind to what Jesus wants in my life. I pray you would do the same thing. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? Come follow me. Simple as that. That's what Jesus is saying to you. Come follow me. Today is the day. Come follow me. You can make a difference. Change. Renew your heart and mind in God's word. It changes you from the inside out. So that's my message for today. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? That's the invitation I pray is tugging at your heart and mind if you don't know Jesus Christ. If he is not your Savior. If he doesn't make you hunger and thirst for righteousness, because if you're a Christian, you've got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. You've got no other chance. I've said it 100 times here today. So you've got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. But I want to read just one last scripture, and it's not on the big screen, but Matthew 13, 36 and following, Jesus says, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field, he answered. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. The evil one is everywhere. He's going to tongue at your heart the second you walk out the door. The weeds are the people of the evil one. We don't want to be that. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. Jesus doesn't mince any words here. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age, Jesus says. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. If you don't know Jesus, this is what's going to happen. They will throw them into the burning furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I pray you've had ears today to hear the message. We don't want to be weeping and gnashing our teeth. We don't want anyone we love to be weeping and gnashing their teeth. We want them to say, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Lord, come, Jesus, come. Let's stand and sing the song of invitation, Loving My Jesus. Thank you.